What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Ride in the Pine. Jack Rodnauer are back with you all today, and as always, we've got another amazing episode in store for everyone at home. But before I get into all of that, let's take a little dive into the last episode. I was joined by a tremendous guest who has been a frequent guest here on Ride in the Pine, current head women's basketball coach at Chatham University, Coach David Sauer. Coach Sauer and I got into this season with the Cougars and what it was like going through this year with an all-freshman and sophomore team, where he felt this team grew the most as a group, what it was like going through a 7-game road stretch in the month of January, and so much more. So if you want to hear about Coach Sauer's season at Chatham, go check out episode 288 and all 288 episodes that are out now on all podcast platforms. Now getting into today, we're going to be joined by another coach, but this coach who has gone through some very interesting changes and adjustments during his coaching career. Current head men's basketball coach at Utah Tech, Coach John Judkins. Coach Judkins and I get into his career starting out at Snow College and what ultimately led him to landing at initially Dixie State, which then turned into Utah Tech, what it's been like being a coach of a school that has gone through not only a name change, but also has gone through a change of going from Division II to Division I and so much more. So if you want to hear about Coach Judkins' journey to Utah Tech and this season at Utah Tech, don't go anywhere because here comes Coach Judkins. So with that, folks, let's make our way into our show for today. So as always, be sure to find your favorite seat here on the bench with me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And I'm here with current head coach for Utah Tech men's basketball, Coach John Judkins. Coach, great to get you on the show today, my friend. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time. I know that you're probably very busy in the midst of your season. And again, with, you know, conference play winding down, getting the conference tournament very, very soon. But overall, how's this season been so far for you and your team?
It's kind of been a roller coaster for us. It's been up and down. There's been games we've played really well and beat some really good teams. And then we lost some close ones. We lost a lot of close games this year. It's where if we could have got those turned around, it would have been a great season. So we're battling. I like where we're going. We're making progress. We haven't won some of the games down the end I thought we should have won.
Well, I'm glad you bring up the aspect of those close losses that you guys have had, because some of them have been by 2-3 points, and it's been, you know, a couple of them over the last few games. What do you think needs to change down the stretch of those games for you guys to pull out those close losses into close wins?
Well, the main thing is stops. We got to get stops. We've been watching film, and our last couple of games we've lost by 2 and 3 out of the last 10 possessions of the game. They scored 8 out of 10. I mean, you got to learn how to win games. You got to get lucky once in a while too. You know, the ball bounced in different directions, but we got to really, you know, dig down deep inside and realize, hey, we got to get a stop here. And sometimes our guys go for steals and then they miss them and then they score. You know, it's like we don't need steals, we need stops. So those are some things that we're really trying to emphasize. Is just, you know, the 4-minute battle, last 4 minutes of a game. What are we going to do offensively? What are we going to do defensively? And we've been working on that a lot more this last couple of weeks, trying to figure that out, but it's a good question.
Well, I mean, hey, I think that it's great that, you know, you're again putting yourself into a position to win those games, right? I mean, it's not like these are 20-point blowouts. I mean, these are games that, you know, again, like you said, ball bounces one way in favor of you, or maybe a call goes in favor, or maybe one of those steals actually turns into a steal. And that's a totally different scenario. So, again, I think that it's great that you guys have been able to address that. But, again, you're keeping yourselves in very, very close and competitive games. But, Coach, I want to get into your career, and I want to just start with, I know that you were initially a player before you got into coaching, but why did you want to get into coaching? I mean, was that something that you always wanted to do?
It's all about the money. That was it. Oh, there's no money in coaching, you know that, unless you get big time. But I just love playing the game, and I've grown up my whole life. My whole family's been into sports and athletics, and just something I've always wanted to do and continue to play. And once I couldn't play anymore, I thought, what am I going to do now? You know, I love the game so much, and I love teaching. And I went in, I got my degree in education, and so I was going to go teach or coach or do something. And so that's kind of how I got into it. I thought, you know, it's the next best thing to playing. I still get the highs and the lows just like players do. There's great games that you celebrate and it makes it worth it, and then there's tough losses that that drag you down too. So I love to teach. I love to see the kids get better. That's one reason why I left the junior college ranks and came to the 2-4 year deal is I haven't only had them for 2 years. I missed that. I want to teach them for 4 years and to see them grow and get better. That's why I do it.
Well, hey, I mean, I think you're doing it for all the right reasons, right? And I think that, you know, it's great that you found that you have an ability to teach and you've now been able to apply it in, you know, a field of sports, being able to teach and coach athletes, again, all throughout their, you know, time in college. And I want to spend a little time with you about your time at Snow College prior to your time at Utah Tech. You were the head coach there at Snow College for 12 years, but there was a little glimmer right before you were fully the head coach where you actually were the interim head coach for about 11 games. How impactful was that final stretch of that season, the 92-93 year? How impactful was that for not only the next year being the head coach, but just in your overall career now?
It changed a lot of things. You tell people this, but they don't understand unless they go through it. Being an assistant coach and being a head coach is completely different. You see things differently. Players react differently. As an assistant, you're kind of their buddy, their go-to guy, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're the head coach, and he's the boss. He's in charge, and it's not as friendly, maybe you'd say, but it was hard that first year doing that, you know, being the guy to help them and support them and, hey, you know, keep your head up, keep going. And I still do that as a head coach, but you're doing that right in the middle of your season where I was their buddy, you know, all the way through. And then all of a sudden now I'm put in as the intern head coach. But I loved every minute of it. And, you know, when that happened, when the year got over, we had to open it up by law to get the next coach. And everybody's telling me, oh, you don't want this job. It's too early. You want this? And I go, no, this is what I want. I was 26, 27 years old, and to get a head coach that early, I was pretty lucky, and I was excited for it, and it's paid off for me.
Well, I mean, I think it's unbelievable that, you know, you've been able to be a head coach since, you know, your mid-20s, right? I mean, that's not a lot of people can say that they've been able to go through that. What was the biggest adjustment from being an assistant to a head coach? I mean, that first 11 games, I'm sure it was always adjusting and transitioning, but what was the first one where you said, whoa, I am no longer an assistant?
Well, like I said, just the players, just the reaction with the players. Because like I said, you were their friend, you were their buddy, you were the one that was... You know, they'd come talk to when things, maybe the head coach was not playing them enough or whatever. They're always in your office talking to you about it. And all of a sudden it's like, well, I can't go talk to him anymore. He's the head coach. So that part was different. But I had a good bunch of guys that understood that. And so that part was pretty cool. But it's just, again, it's a whole different game. You see it completely different as a head coach than you do assistant. You know, as an assistant, you want to try more things. Maybe you're a little bit more daring and trying things because, you know, you lose. It's not really on you. As a head coach, it is totally on you. And I remember one of my conversations with my team was I said, hey, I'll take every loss that we lose, and you guys can take every win. But if I'm going to take the losses, then you got to do exactly what I tell you to do. If I tell you to go off the ball screen, look here, do this, look that guy, and you don't do that, then it's on you. But it was kind of interesting to see that. But it was tough. It's no question. It's that's why you see a lot of coaches. I see have gone from assistant coaches to head coaches, and maybe they don't do as well as they thought they would. And there's some guys that are just made to be assistant coaches, and there's some guys that are just made to be head coaches. And for me, I've lucked out, you know, being that young to get a head coaching position at a college level, where, you know, I've seen guys do head coach that age at high school level. And then when I was getting into coaching, that's kind of how it was. You kind of had to go up the ranks, you know, high school to junior college to Division II to Division I. That's kind of how it was. Now it's a whole different deal. You want to get into Division I as quick as you can, either being a grad assistant or a manager or whatever you can. You want to get into the program and get started. So it's completely different now than when I was getting into it.
Well, I think it's a very, very impressive to see that you've been able to adapt with the changing landscape in coaching and whatnot. But I know you eventually find yourself over at Utah Tech, and it was formerly called Dixie State. So I want to ask just, What led you to finding yourself at Dixie State? How did you find yourself there? And like you said before, I'm sure it was nice being able to coach the guys for not 2 years, but now for 4 years, right?
Yeah. Have you ever been to St. George?
I have not, no.
Well, if you come to St. George, you'll know why I chose it. It's a pretty great place. I mean, the weather's unreal. The town's unreal. How beautiful it is. The campus. It's a great place. So, you know, again, when I heard it, you know, they were in our league in the JUCO class of snow. They're in our league. And I kind of heard that they were thinking about going Division II. And that's when me and my family thought, hey, this might be a good move for us to, you know, try the four-year thing. And at snow, I lost a lot of kids either on missions that go on missions after 1 year, and then they come back. So I only coached them 1 year at a time, or some guys were so good that they left after 1 year. So it was kind of really frustrating that way to build something. And I won a lot at Snow College. We won a lot of conference tournament or conference championships and so on. So when this opened up to go Division II, I didn't know anything about Division II at all. I was just excited to get the four-year thing. And so I came here. I said it was called Dixie State College back in the day when I got here. Things have changed a lot. But we had 7 degrees is all we had for 4 years. And so it was pretty hard recruiting, trying to find guys that had that or wanted that degree to be eligible. That was really tough. And then things changed. We went to the university, to Dixie State University, and then all of a sudden we got more and more degrees, and it made it a little bit easier to recruit towards their degree and what they want to study, and that was great. And then all of a sudden they just said, hey, we're going to go to Division I now. So it was crazy. I mean, if you would have told me that 20 years ago that this place would be a Division I, I didn't think that would happen. But now looking what we've done and the town, how it's growing, it's a perfect fit. And we just got to get better and better every year. And this thing's going to be a fun basketball town is what it's going to turn out to be.
It's impressive, again, that you've been able to be a part of that transition, that continuous kind of change, and, again, that constant adaptation, if you will. I mean, going from having 7 majors to then many, many more, like you said, that really kind of holds you limited to who you can go after and who you can recruit, because you don't have that many, that many majors to offer to people. But I'm sure there were a lot of things during your time at Snow College that you quickly learned and then you were able to apply at your time when you arrived at Dixie State and then eventually Utah Tech. But what was something that you learned and really felt that was a beneficial part of your coaching at Snow College that you immediately applied to your time at Utah Tech?
Wow, that's a good question. We still do the same stuff. Obviously the game has changed so much with the three ball and, stretch fours instead of power forwards. Back in the day it was, two big guys and you've counted the ball inside, and now you're getting these 7-footers that are out shooting threes. So it's completely changed the game. You have to adjust to that. But the junior college, we had some really good players at junior college that obviously went on and played 4 years at Division I. And so that reminds a lot of that. But, where I see the WAC right now is so good. The conference is so competitive and so strong. And I see the size. I see the quickness. From the JUCO or even the Division II stuff, that's probably the biggest change that I see. But we're getting there. Like you said, the recruiting of getting guys here that have their degree, number one's been hard. Number two, the other one's been hard is we've had the NCAA probation thing that when you join Division I, you have to have 4 years before you're eligible to play in the NCAA tournament. And that's hurt us recruiting because they use that against us. Why would you want to go there? They can't even play in the tournament. It's true, but there's a lot of teams who can play in a tournament who don't get to the tournament. It's not an easy thing to get to, and so we kind of use that. So we have one more year that we have on the NCAA side to be able to play in the NCAA tournament. But this year we're excited because we can play in the WAC tournament. And the last 2 years we haven't had that opportunity. So our guys are playing for something, and now we're in for sure. We know that, and so now we're just trying to get better every day, and hopefully. Open some eyes in the WAC tournament.
You bring up a really fascinating point that I, quite frankly, as I think about it, I don't think many people that have come on the podcast have really discussed it. And you mentioned it, that kind of probation period once you make that jump to Division I. And I mean, again, this is just me speaking here, but I'm personally not the hugest fan of that. I don't really understand the point of that. And I would love to hear just your maybe vantage point of it and just what it's like to be, I mean, literally in the middle of it right now, where, like you said, it kind of ties your hands of who you can recruit and how you can recruit.
Yeah, it's brutal. For us, it was that number one. you know, where we lost a lot of kids because of they wanted, you know, the big thing that they wanted. They want to play in the dance. That's why they play college basketball, and that's the dream that they have. And so when the guys are throwing that against us, it hurts. It's a tough thing, you know, to do. The other one, I don't know why they do it. I don't know why the NCAA makes it a 4-year probation. I can only imagine why they do it, or in my eyes, why I think they do it is I think they're trying to see how serious you are of going Division One. I mean, do you have the funding? Are you going to, you know, go 1 year and then drop out and say, oh, we're out of here, we can't do it? They don't want that. They want you to kind of see how serious you are about it. I think that's the problem. But the problem with us going D2 to D1 was the money. I mean, just the coaches' salaries to the scholarships to all the travel, all those things. And so you kind of need that NCAA money that you can get when teams make it to the tournament, your conference. And we don't get that for 4 years. And so it's really hard because I think the NCAA is testing, hey, how serious do you want to be in this? But it sure would help if they helped us with some of the things. And so it's weird. It's a tough goer. That's why I think they do it, is just because I think there's teams that we had this last year. We had Lamar in our league for 1 year, and all of a sudden they just said, hey, we're out. We're going back to the other league. And, you know, and so I think maybe that's why. But it's tough. It's a tough deal to recruit. And the other thing I hated about it, and our guys were really good about this, was what do you play for? I mean, if you can't play the NCAA tournament, you can't play in your conference tournament, you kind of know when your last day is your last game, you know? And so it's really hard to try to keep them motivated and keep them going, where when you got a tournament, it's a lot easier to keep them going and keep them focused and keep them excited about playing and finishing school hard, good. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that tournaments help with student athletes at a university. Not just sports, but also academically. I mean, if they get done early in February, you know, how's the next 2-3 months in school going to be? You know what I mean? It's just like, why am I going to school? I don't know. There's nothing for me to play, and it's tough. It's a tough thing. But we haven't had a problem with that. We've had really good student-athletes. You know, our GPA has been close to 3.5 every semester as a team, and that's really impressive for us. So, but again, it's tough. It's tough to recruit and do that when they know you're not playing in the NCAA tournament and all that. But this year's a lot different because of the WAC. We at least get to play in the WAC tournament, which is nice.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's probably also a nice welcome sign for you. You can kind of get your guys to be motivated for something at the end of the season. How have you kept your guys focused in previous years with that, you know, again, that aspect of don't have the WAC tournament, don't have the NCAA tournament? I mean, how did you kind of go about it and keep them motivated?
Well, it was hard. I'll be honest. It was hard. But one, I mean, the kids you recruit, that's the main thing. You got to get kids to understand that. And we did have some really good kids. And then we try to make, we try to make those last few games, we kind of made them like our tournament. You know, we kind of went into it as like a tournament and said, okay, this is, you know, we're playing this team. This could be the first round of the tournament. You had to do things like that to try to keep them motivated, make practice a little bit more fun. We did a lot more team activity stuff than we normally do, just because, like I said, you got to keep them motivated, and it's very, very hard to do. But these guys were great the last 2 years of doing that. I could not ask for a better team to get through that.
Yeah, and I think on top of that, I mean, the tremendous job that you have done being with this program through the various transitions of a name change, going from D2 to D1 and, you know, so on and so forth, I'm sure that has had a major effect on your job in terms of just how you can go about advertising your school. At one point, it was Dixie State. Then you have to let people know that it's now Utah Tech. I mean, what was that period of time like for you as a coach going out and recruiting in the midst of a name change?
It was hard. I'll be honest, it was really hard. It was probably harder, though, for the town. I mean, the town with, you know, the name of Dixie, that was their town. And so it was probably more here. It was tougher than anywhere because most guys who were recruiting, we tell them what happened and tell them why we did it and all this thing. And they understand it. The problem is nobody knows, you know, nobody knows who we are. So we're on TV, you know, and we see our name on there and all that. Nobody recruiting wise knows who that is. That part's the toughest of, you know, we don't get that name out there as much as we would like, and people know who it is. But, you know, the guys we're recruiting, they understand it, they get it. and they're behind it. And I think our school did a really good job of making a change the way they did it, and the logos and the branding and all the things we did. I thought we did a really good job of that. Now we got to start. The hard part for me is what we built before this, those players I had, the coaches I had. We got Dixie State on the map at the Division II, and the JUCO has always been so solid. Everybody knew us from that, and now it's a whole nobody knows who you are, And so it's good and bad. I mean, some guys might overlook you in a game, but then recruiting, it's tough. And so we got to make a name for ourselves. We got to start over and build a program and get it going. I think we're going the right direction. It's driving me crazy. I want to win now. I don't want to win 5 years from now. But everybody's telling me, hey, you got to be patient. You got to, take baby steps and stuff like that. And I get it. It's just hard. You want to win right now. You want to be the best you can be right now. And it's going to take some time for us, no question.
So my question to you is, if you had a time machine and you went back to when you first heard that the school was changing from Dixie State to Utah Tech, and you had maybe a piece of advice that you could share with yourself back then that you did not know, what would that advice be in terms of just how maybe you branded the school, how you pitched the story of the school changing the name, whatever it might be? What's some advice that you wish you had during that time of transition?
I don't know if there's any advice. I mean, what can you do? I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, we were kind of in a tough situation with athletics because, it's like they asked our opinion and we told it, but, it wasn't us. It's the regents, it's the president, it's stuff like that. So we supported that and we understand why it had to be changed. And we understand that part of it. But the hard part, like I said, for me was just, been coaching here for 15 years at Dixie State or Dixie State College or Dixie College or wherever you want to call it, when it's been, of all the records and all the different things that we've set and all the players that we've had, what they've done in this program, and now you don't hear about them anymore. It's like take them off the board. It's not Dixie State anymore. To start over. And so that part is just frustrating. How we built a great program with that, and now it's kind of like starting all over. So But again, I'm glad it happened. I'm not glad it happened, but if it's going to happen, I'm probably glad it happened as early as when we made the transition to Division I, because it'd be a lot harder to do it later. I think, we had to take the Band-Aid off once we went D1. We know it's going to be hard. We might as well make this change now as well and just kind of, take our wounds now. And again, it's been, people know, we go fly and we go do things in the airports and people see us and who's Utah Tech? What's that? And we tell them and oh yeah. So it's getting there. It's just, like I said, it's just something new that people don't like change. People don't like change. And sometimes change is good and sometimes change is bad. And as a coach, that's something I can't worry about. I just got to worry about putting the best team I can on the floor and take care of itself.
Well, I think one thing is very steady and very consistent with your program, and that is just being able to defend home court. And it's something that seems to be a constant theme at Utah Tech, being able to be really, really good on your home floor. What do you think it's been just the secret behind that so much success of playing so well in front of your own home crowd?
Well, I don't think it's just us. I think the WAC, if you look at the WAC right now, it's that way almost every – even our first year into it, it seemed like every game the home team won. To win on the road was really hard to win in the WAC. The travel is brutal. You're driving, on Thursday night or Friday morning, you're driving 2 or 3 hours to the next venue to play. It's not like just down the street. And so those things are tough. I give our credit a lot to our community and our students. They're here, and our last game here against Southern Utah, we had this place packed, and they were number one in the conference at the time, and we came out and beat them. So now we play them again tomorrow. So up there, but it's just I think it's just the community and the students, sleeping in our own bed, doing the normal routines that you normally do. I think that always helps. But it's hard to win on the road. It really is, especially in the WAC.
Absolutely. And I mean, with all those other added aspects of the travel and having to be on the road and driving early and flying and so on and so forth, that can definitely be very, very challenging. And just real quick, out of curiosity for everyone at home that might not know, what exactly went on with what is the story with the name change, if you can share that?
just there's a lot of things. I mean, I'll probably screw it up or say something wrong, so I probably not go into that. But again, it was just a lot of the different things that were happening in the school, and you know, it's kind of the same as what, you know, the Indians, Cleveland Indians, and the Washington Redskins. It's kind of the same idea with the Rebels, the Dixie State kind of a thing. You know, that's kind of why they thought it'd be a good idea to switch it.
I gotcha.
That's kind of why they did it.
Okay. Yeah. It was just out of curiosity. I just found out that it was now called Utah Tech. So now I'm learning something new. And it's been great to have you on the show today, Coach, to share a little bit about the program and to also let people know, you know, hey, this is Utah Tech and this is what we're all about. So it's been wonderful to have you on the show today. And before we let you go, just want to hear from you. It's a question I always ask guests at the end of the interview, and it involves kind of a realization or an epiphany as to when you knew that you could be a college basketball coach and really be a college basketball coach at the Division I level. So for you, when did that moment kind of go off for you and you said, you know what, I can definitely do this?
Probably when I was younger, I did a lot of camps. When I played at Utah State, I did a lot of summer camps with my brother and stuff like that. I think, this is fun. It's just something I might want to do. And then I kind of jumped into it. So I think it was good. That's kind of why I got it. And then when you do it, I mean, my first head job, I forgot to ask this question, but my first head job was the women's at Snow College. My first year there, I was assistant coach for the men's side, and they let the girls coach go in the middle of the year, at the end of December. So they came to me and said, hey, you know, here I am, a 22-23-year-old kid, and they said, hey, would you mind finish coaching the girls' team? They'll be on the bus with you. They travel with you. They have games, same time, same everything. Would you be willing to do it until we get a replacement? I said, sure, I'll do it. I mean, I was young. I'm like, okay, I'll try it. And I started doing it then. I thought, you know, and these girls were in last place where I took over, and we got all the way up to like fourth or fifth place, something like that. And we didn't get to go to the tournament. We only took four teams that year. The next year they changed it. But, you know, that's kind of another reason why I thought, this is something I love to do. And I was successful with it. And I thought, this is good. I love it. So that's kind of how I got into it, and just love it every day.
Well, Coach, again, it's been a lot of fun listening about your career and hearing about your journey to Utah Tech, and we wish you nothing but luck moving forward, and also wish you nothing but luck moving forward tomorrow against Southern Utah as well.
Yeah, thanks, you. I appreciate it.
And there he goes, Coach John Judkins. Another wonderful episode today, everyone. Thanks for joining me here on the bench. Be sure to keep following and subscribing to Riding the Pine on Apple and Spotify, and keep following on Twitter at RideThePine20, RTP all capital, Instagram at Riding_the_pine_ all lowercase, and on TikTok at RideInThePine all lowercase for all the latest updates on episodes and content to come. All 289 episodes are out now. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews, and again, folks, keep your eyes and ears open for some more great guests coming out on RTP, as well as some really great content as we get closer and closer to March Madness. But once again, everyone, thanks so much for tuning in today. And until next time on Riding the Pine, keep on sitting the bench with me.